Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Good morning, everybody. Hi, this is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And this is a Sunday morning chat, so we're going to be talking about a few things that have been in the news recently, current events, and we will talk a little bit about deception, because truly the days are evil. And there is so much deception out there, so we really need to be careful what we listen to, who we listen to, and just to be aware of what's going on. But there was a couple things in the news this week that piqued my interest. There was a story about a body being found in a hotel water tank. These water tanks were on the top of the roof of a hotel, and I think the hotel is in L.A. But anyway, this body had been in this tank, they say, for maybe over 2 weeks, and the guests in the hotel were drinking the water. They were also bathing in it, and I wonder, now, it's very odd to me that, why doesn't this hotel have city water? Why do they keep water up in tanks on a rooftop for people to drink? And why weren't these tanks locked? Now, can you imagine these poor people that stayed in that hotel and were drinking the water and bathing in it? They had no idea that there was a dead body inside the tank. So very, very strange. They said that many years ago there was a serial killer, Richard Ramirez, and that he had actually stayed in this hotel. He lived there at one time. So it has a history, but very, very strange story. Also, there is currently a case that came up in South Africa with an Olympic runner, Oscar Pretorius. He's going to be going on trial for murder. And so it's a strange story, but I like to look at it this way, that people are innocent until proven guilty. So you can't believe everything you hear in the paper or read in the paper or hear on the news. You have to wait for the trial to actually see the evidence and what really happened, because I visited South Africa in the 1990s. And I can tell you that it is a high crime area. When I was there, I met a lady who, her husband was shot inside their home. And how the people got in was they cut a hole through the roof and got in, because most of the homes that I had visited had bars on the windows, bars on the doors. They didn't want me to even go out in a car on the highway by myself, most of the people that I visited. They said it was too dangerous. The church, one of the churches that I was ministering in there, I actually stayed with the security guard and his family. They had a house on the land where the church building was. It's a large church, very large. And anyway, the security guard and his family lived on the property. And during church services, they had to patrol the parking lots because while people were in church, people were robbing their cars. Yeah. Awful, just awful crime. And one night we were sitting in the living room and we were talking, and all of a sudden he had these sensors in the proper around his house that if someone walked near to his door, that these sensors would go off and he would know that someone was walking out there. Well, sure enough, someone was out there. It was about 8 o'clock that night, and he had to go outside with his rifle to look to see who it was. And so I can tell you that it is a very, very high crime area. I was taken to these camps that they had with people walking over from different parts of Africa, walking into South Africa looking for work or whatever. And some of them would just squat. If they found an empty property or an empty house, they would just squat. And in case you don't know what squatting is, that means that you just move in, even though you don't own the property, or you set up a tent or whatever, and you live on someone else's property without their permission. So they had some of these camps where people came and they just maybe got a piece of tin for a roof and a few sticks. And they were living in these camps by the hundreds. So I actually was taken to these camps to see them. But it is a very high crime area. And I think what happens is, and it's really not fair for anyone that's earned an honest living, for someone else to want to take what they earned. It's kind of like this class warfare that we have going on in our country, that because people have more money, they should pay more taxes so other people can have have things that they didn't work for. And it can cause people to be resentful of people that have more money than you do. But the Bible says we're not supposed to be envious or jealous of what other people have. We're not supposed to covet. It is one of the Ten Commandments that we're not to covet our neighbor's goods. No matter what someone else has, they worked for it. And someone down the road, even if they inherited the money, someone down the road had to work for the money. And we all have the same opportunities. Some people are just smarter than we are, and they know how to make money, but we shouldn't be envious of other people and try to get what they have. That's not what we're supposed to do, and that's not what we're supposed to be about, trying to get handouts that we don't deserve. If there is a time, and probably all of us have gone through struggles in our life and we needed help, but to constantly have to live on welfare or disability when you're able to do something. I often think about Joni Erickson Tada. Now, here's a girl that she's totally paralyzed. She can't move her arms, her legs. She can't move from the neck down. Now, she could have felt sorry for herself and gone on disability, but she didn't. She started painting with her mouth. she put a paintbrush in her mouth and she would paint. And she has a ministry. She travels and she writes and she sings. And there's a woman that is really what we would call disabled, but yet she didn't give up. She didn't become angry and bitter and resentful. She worked and she made something out of her life. And she has a wonderful ministry, reaching out to other people who have disabilities. So everybody can do something to contribute. But let's look at Titus. Titus 1. And we're going to talk a little bit, too, about deception. Titus 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Amen. How will they hear unless we send a preacher? Amen. Which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, and not given to filthy lucre. Now we see a lot of the other today, especially if you tune in what they call Christian television, and you see most of the preachers that are on there, they've been given over to the love of money. Now, so many people misquote that scripture and they say, money is the root of all evil, but it's not money. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. So we see that so many of them have given themselves over to filthy lucre. Let's continue on verse 8. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth unto the pure. All things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. So you see that in verse 9, that he may be able by sound doctrine. And I hear people say this all the time. I'm not so concerned about doctrine. As long as they confess Jesus, then we can be brothers and sisters. Well, the Bible says that even Satan can confess Jesus. So it's not enough just to confess Jesus. You have to have fruit in your life. Because anybody could say anything. And I see it all the time, the people that call themselves Christians and they're involved in all kinds of things that are not Christian at all. So I've even heard some people say, well, you can be a fruit inspector. Well, yeah, yeah, you can be a fruit inspector because you're supposed to know people by their fruit. Are they bearing fruit? Do they show Christian conduct? Are they trying to live a life of integrity? So all these things are important. And I don't care who it is, what famous preacher or who it is, who you're listening to. If it doesn't line up with God's word, then it's not true. And it's not sound doctrine. So I'm not so interested in this whole idea of being ecumenical and this whole one world church and we all unite around the name of Jesus. We don't just all unite around the name of Jesus. We are one in the faith, but it has to be the faith that lines up with God's word, the Bible. Now, some people, they don't want to stand on God's word, but God said he exalts his word above his name. So the word of God is important. If God can create a universe, he can write a Bible. So, and any of us that have read it know how the word of God changes us. And it's our guidebook for life. It ministers to us in times of sorrow. It ministers to us in times of joy. And it is truly a blessing to have God's word. So don't let people deceive you into saying that we have unity because we all love Jesus. Well, the Mormons claim to love Jesus. I even heard some famous Mormons say that they were born again and Jesus Christ was their Lord and Savior, but he's not their Lord and Savior the way he's our Lord and Savior. It's a different Lord and Savior. So just because you hear some phrases coming out of their mouth, doesn't necessarily mean that they're truly born again and serving the real Lord Jesus, because there will be many people that will come and they'll be talking about Jesus, but they're talking about another Jesus. Now, you see, in this scripture in Titus, verse 13, it says, "Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." Well, now when anybody gets rebuked, or you try to rebuke someone, they get angry. For the most part, they're angry and upset because they take it personal. But the Bible says we're supposed to rebuke them sharply. Well, sharply, that's a strong word, you know. You can't just accept anything that anybody says and not ever stand up for the truth. If the word of God says rebuke them sharply, then rebuke them sharply. just like you hear people say, whenever you try to make a judgment, they say, oh, don't judge. It's like we're not supposed to think. I'm not supposed to think that there is a right and a wrong. I don't know. People are so deceived. They're so brainwashed, and they've become so complacent that anything goes, especially if it happens to be their favorite TV preacher. You can't ever say anything against them because then you're judging. Well, it's okay for them to judge you about what you're saying, but then you can't do the same. It's just ridiculous. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you have to stop thinking. You need to be able to judge right and wrong. You need to be able to judge good and evil. You can't fall for anything that comes along. If it doesn't line up with God's word, then we're not supposed to believe it. So I saw something interesting yesterday. There was a video, and you can kind of see, I'll be doing some programs about this in the future, about church takeovers and universalism, ultimate reconciliation. These doctrines are very, very prevalent today among many of the so-called famous TV preachers. Now, these doctrines, they state that everyone in the end gets saved, that the lake of fire is a place of purification, and that people that are thrown into the lake of fire will be purified, and then everybody goes to heaven. Everybody gets saved in the end, whether or not they ever confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord while they were living. Well, this is a false doctrine. It's a damnable heresy. And there was a conference that was held. And these are some of the people to look out for: T.D. Jakes, Paula White, this Michael Pitts has a church in Toledo, I think. They had a conference with someone who calls himself Bishop Duncan Williams, I think his name is, and it was called the Impact 2012 Conference. So if you wanted to go on the internet and search for it. But it was an interesting array of speakers, because there was Paula White on the bill. There was this Michael Pitts, who claims to be a bishop, who's been arrested in the past for drunk driving, supposedly illicit sexual conduct with little boys. Then, to top it off, there's a man there named David Huskins. Now, David Huskins dresses in a bishop's outfit. He actually wears one of those hats that looks like the mitre hat, you know, that the Pope wears. It kind of comes to a point. And he wears these bishop's robes. Well, number one, whenever we see anyone dressed like that, we need to run for our life. Because being raised a Catholic, that's how the Catholic priest dressed. That's how the cardinals dressed. We're not supposed to dress up in funny costumes and then, you know, put a title in front of our name, and then we're somebody special and everybody else has to do what we say. There's no hierarchy in the body of Christ. So first of all, if your pastor starts dressing like that, you better run for the door and not go back. Because I think, for the most part, I think these people are having nervous breakdowns when they start putting these costumes on. Now, can you imagine, just think about this. You get up in the morning and you go to your closet and you put on a Catholic priest coat or dress. You're a man, you put on a Catholic priest dress, and then you put on a Roman collar, and then you put this funny hat on your head, and then you carry a staff or some kind of a stick. Now, that is not sane thinking. That is insane thinking. there's something wrong. Something really wrong. Anyway, so they have this conference. Now, David Huskins, he had has a church, I put it in quotes, church in Georgia. Now, he is a believer in ultimate reconciliation, universalism. There's no hell. Ultimate reconciliation is everybody gets reconciled in the end, whether or not they ever were born again. And you can kind of see all these people coming together, this guy Mark Sharona and Paula White, T.D. Jakes, Eddie Long. They're all starting to associate with each other to bring forth, I believe, the one world church, the one world religion. And most of them, when you start seeing preachers doing funny things with money, like the seed faith offerings and the tithing and all that, if they can't get it straight in the financial realm and they can't stop manipulating people and conning people just because they want to have a ministry, well, then they don't belong in the ministry, because if you can't operate your ministry by faith, then you shouldn't be in the ministry. So we don't have to beg people. I'm not opposed to people taking up offerings. I don't do it. I think that we should trust God for all our needs to be met, and we don't have to beg people and manipulate people to get money to have a ministry. All we have to do is open our mouth, and that's free. So anybody can preach the gospel. It doesn't cost anything. I don't care what they say. If they do have a church building, yeah, you have to pay your light bill and you have to pay your bills. So if you need to take up offerings, that's okay. But don't lie to people. Don't promise them the world because they give offerings. If I do something for my mother, I don't expect something back from her, a hundredfold return, you know. I just do things for people because I like giving. I like to do things. I don't do it because I want my hundredfold return, or I'm giving my seed faith offering because I want my relatives to be saved, or I want to pay my mortgage or whatever. The Bible says to ask and you shall receive. So you can merely pray and God will bless you. We give offerings because we give offerings to give to each other. So usually these people start off, some of them start off okay, and then they start getting into this whole thing where they realize they have to feed this monster that they call their ministry. And so they have to manipulate, they have to lie, cheat and steal, and think of every kind of gimmick to get you to give them money so they can have a good lifestyle and have a jet and a Mercedes and a Bentley and a multi-million-dollar house and a Rolex and the finest of everything. Meanwhile, you have a bicycle. So, you know, these are the signs to look for people that are deceived and want to deceive you. If they can't handle things correctly in the financial realm, that's a number one red flag. Then they start teaching false doctrines. They start teaching this thing about submitting to them, that you're under them, which none of that is true, because we submit to God. We submit one to another, and there is no, like, you know, you submit to this one person, and then they can never listen to anything you have to say. That's like even in a marriage. You have two people, you have two opinions, and both opinions should be heard. So if you're in this kind of a church or organization where there's one fearless leader and nobody else has a say in anything, there's something wrong with that. Because any of us can be corrected, or if I'm doing something wrong and I'm leading people astray, I might get a little upset. I'm hoping that I won't if somebody tries to correct me. But I have to take it and examine it and say, okay, if I am doing something wrong, I'm going to check it out with the Word of God, and I'll try to make the corrections. There's no sense in getting angry at someone because they're trying to correct you. We see that, and it's becoming more and more prevalent, especially with the Internet, because we have the freedom to speak out. They can't try to silence us anymore. But they will try. They're trying to sue people. Some of these ministries, if you say anything about them, they take down people's YouTube channels. They try to take down their websites, and they don't want you to try to make any corrections about any of their doctrines or any of their lifestyles, their homosexuality, their adultery, their fornicating, their drunkenness, their drug taking, whatever. Like, what does any of that have to do with Christianity? We have to try to live our lives to be a good testimony to the world and not live like the world and do everything the world's doing. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to know better. I'm sure all of us have made mistakes. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but it's not something we stay in and we continue to do. We see so many of these pastors, these prosperity pimps, and they're living in adultery for years and years at a time. They don't ever try to live a godly life. They just do whatever they want. And then they have the nerve to get up there on the Sunday morning and try to tell you what to do. It's ridiculous. But let's look at a couple scriptures on deception. Jeremiah 9:5, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. So you see, a lot of these people, they start out right, but then they start deceiving and manipulating to keep the ministry in quotes. I'm saying quotes, ministry. They have to think of ways to pay their bills. So they start to deceive and speak lies. Jeremiah 29:8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. Matthew 24:4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Matthew 24:5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, I hear this a lot, and I even hear it from some friends of mine. Well, they do miracles. They had the dead raised in their ministry. I don't really care. I don't really care how many miracles they do, because they're not doing the miracles in the first place. If there's any miracles being done, it's Jesus doing the miracles, not Benny Hinn or I don't care, or any other guy that claims he's a miracle worker, because Jesus is doing the miracles. But you see that, remember when Moses was trying to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, Pharaoh's men, his deceivers and his diviners, they were able to duplicate almost all the miracles that Moses brought to them, and then they would duplicate it. So just because you see something that looks like a sign and a wonder, that doesn't necessarily mean it's from God. Jesus said that we shouldn't be chasing after signs and wonders anyway. Now, I believe in miracles. I believe God's a miracle worker. I've seen him do miracles, but I don't go chasing after any man or woman for miracles, because I'll get my miracles from God. Thank you very much. Mark 13:5, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Mark 13:6, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Romans 16:18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So just because they have all these sermons and they use all these big words and they have all the scriptures, but they don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They serve their own belly. And they deceive the hearts of the simple. So don't be simple. Be wise, because the devil, as a roaring lion, seeks whom he may devour. And we don't want to be devoured. We want to stay strong in the faith. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So we're supposed to have good manners and not be listening to evil communications. Be careful what comes out of your own mouth, because evil communication corrupts good manners. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, which means serving many lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Deuteronomy 11:16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Job 15:31, let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense. So all these vain deceivers that are out there, vanity will be their reward. That will be their reward. So the Bible says we're supposed to be content with what we have. We're not supposed to be envious and jealous. And like I said before, want what somebody else has. We try to earn an honest living and take care of our families and do what we need to do, give when we can. And we try to live a godly life as a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. The prosperity gospel has become very, very popular. I think that it's been very damaging to the body of Christ, because we see people, and I've seen this, I've seen people give everything away. They give their house away, they give their car away, they empty out their bank account because they have to sow seed, they have to tithe. Somehow they feel like they have to work to get God to give them something. I don't mean natural work, because we have to have some way to earn a living. But I mean, they think that they have to somehow bribe God to get God to bless them, that we didn't have to buy our salvation. We merely had to confess, repent of our sins, and confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We didn't have to, you know, buy God off, bribe him. We didn't have to do anything except what he already did for us. And it's the same thing in the financial realm. We don't have to beg, borrow, and steal. And I think it's really an abomination when you see they have this telethon coming from Oral Roberts University, and these are college students. And they've got all these con artists on there, Judy Jacobs, and some of these other guys, Mike Murdoch and that bunch, you know, emptying out the pockets of these college students by promising them the world with these seed faith gifts. And I've said this before, I don't have to bribe my parents to give me anything, so I most certainly don't have to bribe God to give me blessings. Then what happens? People get angry and they get bitter and resentful because God's not blessing me. I'm giving him all this money and he's not blessing me back. Well, what are your motives? God's not going to bless selfishness. He's certainly not going to do that. He's certainly not going to bless your greed. He's just not going to do it. God will bless you because he loves you. And it's as simple as that. If our lives are pleasing to the Lord and we're trying to do what's right, trying to follow his word and be a good testimony to the world, yes, God will bless us. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. I don't have an answer for why things happen, why people get sick or why they go bankrupt. I don't understand it all. I just know that God is real. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and that Jesus Christ is a real person who can change your life. No matter what you've done, where you've been, if you're an alcoholic or a drug addict or a prostitute or whatever you are, Jesus Christ loves you and he gave his life for you. And he wants to change your life today. He can change your life and give you a brand new life. A life that you can't buy. No, not all the money in the world can't make you happy and give you peace. But Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and he can give you peace and joy today. The Bible says in John 3 that you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then you need to be born again of the Spirit of God, and that is not through baptism. You must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. Have a heartfelt repentance. Get down on your knees today and ask God to forgive you and ask Jesus to come into your life and to be your Lord and Savior. And get a Bible. I like King James. Read that Bible and wash your brain out with the Word of God. Renew your mind. And I guarantee you, you'll never regret your decision, ever. God is a good God, and he's a God of love and mercy. And we love him today, and we thank him. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the teaching. Tune in next week for our program on Christian Palestinianism with our special guest filmmaker, Kirill Mastrosini. I think that's the way you pronounce her last name. I'll have to ask her so I get the pronunciation correct, but tune in next week, okay? God bless you. Okay, record. Here we go.
city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.